One name would. One name one.
Blitz is on. Rodgers winds up. He's got time to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown.
Two friends.
Twice.
Too much sport.
Throwing, and it is a fingertip.
Put your hands together for Rude and Wild.
Hello and welcome to episode 29, and you're in 30.
29.
Of the Woot and Why Show. How you going, Woot?
I'm quite well.
Quite well. Saturday again, both of us mixed up during the week with work.
We're busy guys.
Yeah.
Busy
so
guys.
I got held up on Tuesday, you got held up on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So again on Saturday. We promise we will actually get one done on a Tuesday at some point.
We're not going to promise next Tuesday, because if we say it, we won't.
Yep. We are going to apologize in advance if the quality of the sound is a bit out. It is about 36 degrees Celsius, which what would that be in Fahrenheit for American viewers?
Probably cold.
It's very hot, so we have to have the aircon and the fan on, so it might affect our sound quality.
Mm-hmm.
But look, we want to be comfortable and we don't care.
Frankly. I care.
What?
No.
All right, let's jump into some NFL news. All right, Thursday night football. What'd you think?
Yeah, well, we got the pickup. That was good.
Yeah, we did.
I thought it was going to be closer, to tell the truth.
It was for 2.5 quarters.
Yeah.
And then Saints just took control. Well, Mark Ingram took control.
Took control.
Surely he is the lead back now, going forward.
I'd say he is the lead back, but once they all come back,
I think they'll eat into his carries.
It's just gonna.
I don't think it'll be as bad as people think.
I kind of think it's just gonna end up going back to how it was.
Well,
he will be the lead back.
Yeah, but before he got injured, he was still producing that.
Yeah, no,
in the first couple of weeks.
Hopefully,
so,
that's what he can keep doing.
I'm impressed with Tavares Cadet. I don't think they need Pierre Thomas next year. I think if you have Ingram and Cadet, I think you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Robinson is a good backup.
I think. Good three. I agree. I think they'll get rid of Thomas, and then it's going to be a three-headed monster again, but with different people.
Yeah, absolutely. Although they did mention that Mark Ingram will be hitting free agency at the end of the year.
Yeah, so see how that goes.
Be interesting. But the Saints finished up 28-10, so. Even though
they lost, I didn't think Newton played that bad.
Newton's the only thing carrying a team at the moment, offensive. They lost Jordan Gross through retirement and did nothing about it. They did nothing to fix it up.
Yeah.
And Kelvin Benjamin, who has been impressive, and we will probably get to him some point in our mid-season review, just didn't have his best game as a professional player.
He was shadowed a lot.
Yes.
Shadowed a lot.
Yeah. But Cam's doing everything. That touchdown, that was incredible. He's a fine player.
He is. Oh, you don't have to be a genius, though, to be, like, if you're a defensive coordinator, to realise that you've got to stop Kelvin Benjamin and you can stop the Panthers.
Yeah, they really need some extra help.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, RG3 is back. He's back. He's named starter and officially labelled as probable for all you fantasy footballers for this Sunday or Monday. Thoughts on what he will do for Washington?
I mean, I wouldn't be rushing out to put him in your starting lineup.
Yeah.
Even if you've got, you know, someone struggling a bit. If you're a fantasy team that has someone, say, usually I'd say someone like Flacco, but Flacco's not playing horribly. So, I mean, usually if you've got a quarterback around the 14-15 range and you need to start someone, and well, like, you think, you know, you need someone better, I wouldn't say that rushing out and picking up RG3 is the best option this week.
No.
But to pick him up, coming, like, looking forward. Like
as a stash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's smart.
I think he'll open up the rushing game a bit better. I think they abandoned the run a little bit too early without him.
Mm-hmm.
I think the threat of him using his legs helps Alfred Morris a lot.
I don't think he does that much with his legs.
I don't think he will, but the threat of him running. Defenses have to adjust, because you never know when he's going to bust out a run. Even though they say that they're going to stop doing it as much, you still know that he likes to get up and get on those legs.
I It's going to be interesting to see how it... I think Pierre Garçon's value goes up.
Yeah, they had a real connection. Maybe sell high on DeSean Jackson, fantasy-wise.
Possibly.
Yep. Kirk Cousins now surely has lost his backup job to Colt McCoy.
Yeah, wow. What a turn of events for Kirk Cousins.
I'm happy for Colt McCoy, though.
Oh, yeah, we were always...
We like
Colt. Always been fans of Colt McCoy.
Yeah, we always
have. We thought he'd got a real rough ride wherever he's been.
At Cleveland. That was rough.
Yep.
And it was good to see him win in his home state.
It was good.
It must have been. It was surreal, I think, when I was watching it and I saw his father sitting in a Dallas Cowboys stadium in a Washington polo. I reckon all his life he's never ever thought of the day that he'd be wearing a Washington polo at Dallas Stadium watching his son win against the Cowboys. Because if everyone that knows Colt, he's Texas. Like, he's the definition of Texas. Speaking about that game, Romo's back. What was your take on that? Him coming back in. I tweeted after that injury. I said it wouldn't surprise me if he comes back because Romo is tough.
He's tough, but then it's also...
Yeah.
It's also a bit...
risky.
He's everything. Come on, when you think about... Actually, saying this, Whedon didn't play horribly.
No.
But this is Brandon
Whedon. One drive.
Okay.
If Brandon Whedon threw a pick on a penultimate drive, that would have been...
Yeah.
I think Twitter would have died.
Yep. But, you know, as a Philly fan, I'm glad they lost.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
Loving it.
I admire Romo's courage, and he is a tough competitor. We saw it last year when he hurt his ankle throwing off one foot.
Yep.
Last year. Yeah, he's a tough guy. I hope he's okay, but it was very scary watching him lay on the ground like that. It was tough to eat my lunch watching that. Only for a brief couple of minutes, and then Brandon Whedon came on and made my lunch even worse.
Then I came back up.
Giovanni Bernard is out for week 9, ruled out.
Yeah.
Today, that's breaking news. So this wouldn't have been on if we did on Thursday or even Tuesday.
So you're lucky.
So Jeremy Hill time. What's your thoughts on Mr. Jeremy Hill?
It's going to be a completely kind of different running
game. Yeah, it is, absolutely.
He's a bruiser. He's a bruising kind of back. I mean...
I have to start him in my reality sports league. I have, like, Forte on bye, Joyke Bell on bye. Like, I have that many running backs on bye.
I know your problem, but wide receiver.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be interesting. I still think Cincinnati will handle the Jags.
Yeah. I'm interested to watch Jeremy Hill
by himself? Carry the load.
Like, because he's been quite consistent. I saw it... I don't know if it's the same now, but after the first 4 or 5 weeks, he was consistently just, like, he had, like, 16 carries for, and it was an average of 4 yards a carry. It was exactly, like, every run was exactly, like, he just was so ultra-consistent.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him. Big bruiser. Sort of a quicker Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Yeah, well, I mean, kind of a slower Ben Jarvis.
No, that's true. And then you have a defensive tackle. all right, Larry Fitzgerald's spoken out this week. He's been quiet all year, but has a career game. A good game. Mm-hmm. He's out. Speaking again, he called the Cardinals the San Antonio Spurs of the NFL. Do you agree with him?
What do you mean? This gets it done.
He says they win ugly. It doesn't really matter, but at the end of the year, they're going to be there and they're going to be a contender. And they're a team that not many people talk about. Because the Spurs do that all the time. They just sort of... I don't think... I can see what he means about the Cardinals.
I'm kind of agreeing.
But the Spurs don't win ugly. Like, they're just a good team.
Yeah, they're just well-rounded.
Yeah, and, like, they just fly under the radar because they're not overly flashy. Yeah. Neither are the Cardinals. Actually, I think the Cardinals are quite flashy. The vertical offense with Bruce Arians is stunning.
You know, screen passes to Ellington, and that's pretty flashy.
The John Brown touchdown was incredible.
I'm agreeing with it.
Oh, you're saying that Ellington is flashy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Good. But I think we've talked about the Cardinals a lot here.
Yeah.
I think we're a fan, even though they beat your team
the week ago.
You're still a fan of the Cardinals.
Eagles have lost 2 games this year.
Yeah.
Both away games to San Fran and Arizona. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and a sneaky, lucky home win. Oh, road win against the Colts as well.
Yeah, that was lucky.
That was great, yeah.
It was probably one of the only bad final drives by Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Was it a three and out?
No, it was a interception. Oh, the three and out. Yeah. That's right. But to get you guys back in, it was a pick, but
yep.
It was pass interference. But anyway, I think we've talked about the Cardinals more than the Dolphins, the team of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe I think we're just trying to help the Dolphins go under the radar. Yeah,
that's good. That's fine.
They're very good.
They are superb. trades. We had a trade this week on the deadline day.
Huge trade.
Massive. Mark Barron is traded to the Rams. He was the 7th overall pick in the 2012 NFL draft. So Tampa got a 4th round pick and a 6th round pick from St. Louis. So Mark Barron is the Rams. And interesting note, Mark Barron came out and said that Lovie Smith's defense was too passive for him. Not aggressive enough. I think he won't have a problem at the Rams.
They are flat out mental at the Rams.
Now, someone who knows a lot more about NFL than me, I can't quite recall, tweeted that they think Mark Barron is a better fit in St. Louis than he is in Tampa.
Well, I don't... Going into the draft, I still remember that year. Yeah. You and I were saying, you know, Mark Barron's awesome.
Yeah.
But he's never looked like...
He was okay last year. He was flashy in patches last year. I didn't watch terribly huge amount of Bucks games. But this year, the whole Bucks team has been horrible. They're trading everything.
Yeah. I really thought VJ was going
to... VJ, I thought VJ was gone, Doug Martin was gone, and then they also traded Jonathan Casillas to the New England. They swapped some late-round picks.
You watch him shine now.
Yeah, well, New England are trying to make up for Gerard Mayo. He's a massive loss in the run defense.
Yep.
And if they can fill that role, the New England's pass defense is... Darrell Revis is starting to pick up his play a lot.
He's playing well
despite
now.
Despite being tardy last week at training and being sent home. Maybe that worked.
He did play good last week.
Yes, he did. So there was that trade, but it's like a fire sale in Tampa. They're just getting rid of anything.
I mean, I feel like they have to now.
Yeah. Well, the new owners and managers there don't have any locks or connections with 2012 draft picks.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the quarterback situation come at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's brutal. I think that might be brought up in our mid-season review.
I think that Glenn might be shown the door as well.
Yeah. All right, before we announce our real MVPs of the week, any takeaways from Week 8? It's been a while, so we won't touch on it too much. I just thought one of the most incredible wins I've ever seen in the NFL was the Lions over Atlanta. Matt Prater missed the field goal, but the time delay of game pushed it back from 43 to 48, and then he gets the 48. Is that not the strangest?
No, it was weird.
That probably should be Weird Web Story.
There's been plenty of weird, you know, similar things with timeouts and icing the kicker and things like that. Yeah, this is one where it's against him, which ended up being for him.
Atlanta were probably so robbed there.
Yeah.
Completely robbed.
But then again, don't think Arizona. See? Arizona's always
on the long line.
But then again, I still look at Atlanta and I think, you didn't deserve to win.
No, they blew a 21-0 lead.
So. Over in London.
London. Not doing that again.
Not doing that.
Nope. Anything else? The Steelers-Colts game was incredible. If they played every week, I'd be pretty happy. Even though we lost, but just...
We lost fifth by
No, but just the, like, heck, I love Antonio Brown, so watching him just, like, put on a play, put on a show, and Ben Roethlisberger was incredible, Andrew Luck was incredible in the game, Dante Moncrief, all right, he said pick him up.
Yep.
If you listen to us,
you'd be winning your league.
You would have won last week on Moncrief. All right, it's time for our real MVP of the week.
Do-do-do-do-do, I don't know.
All right, we mentioned him before, but I've got to bring him up again because we are Colt McCoy fans. Colt McCoy, you're the real MVP. That was incredible. Enjoy it. Lap it up. Maybe you get a pay grade as a backup quarterback. Look, I'd be happy if you were backing up Andrew Luck.
And now, it's just interesting to see what they're going to do with Kirk Cousins.
Thinking
that they could get a first, second round pick to nothing, maybe?
You just cut ties.
Maybe.
Christian Ponder.
I think I'll keep him.
Yeah, we'll wait and see.
Still on a rookie contract, isn't he?
Who? Cousins?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably a year to go. Yeah, why not?
Something like that.
It's cheap. All right, who is your real MVP of the week?
Wellington boots. Yeah, I said that. We're not going with MVP of the week. We're going with villain.
You're going with a villain of the week?
Villain of the week. You're getting your first NFL start ever.
Yep.
And you get absolutely... What's the correct word?
Annihilated?
Annihilated?
Destroyed?
Yeah.
Embarrassed?
Pulverized.
Embarrassed.
Oh, had to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
By J.J. Watt.
Yes.
Zach Mettenberger. You're the real villain of the week.
If only we can get a drop with KD saying that.
You're the real villain.
You're the real villain of the week.
Yeah.
He had the porn star mode going on, the Snapchats and...
selfies.
Did you see the Snapchat?
I did.
What did he say? Oh, guess who's the starting quarterback week in the NFL or something like that. And he had his big handlebar, like... Looked like the guy from Dodgeball.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Ben Stiller's character.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then J.J. Watt came out and said, you know, this is the NFL, man.
Yeah, start acting like a real player.
This isn't high school anymore.
The selfie.
Then he just gets dropped.
Gets the selfie.
Well, there you go. You've learned your lesson now. I think the Titans are going to run with Mettenberger a little bit longer.
I think he'll see out the year, and the Texans will draft another quarterback. I don't think he'll see out the year
if he keeps playing like that.
Who are they going to put in?
I think they'll throw Locker back in.
Nah, man.
I'm still high on Locker.
Nah, I know. Nah, me not so much. They're going to draft their third quarterback in like 4 years.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to blame them for that. I'm just saying that if Locker could stay healthy, he's decent.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he's
I
can't not, agree with that. Well, he doesn't stay healthy.
So I just think he just misthrows people and just, average... I'm going to bring that up, actually, in our mid-season review, let's get to that. All right, so we're halfway through the year.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to start week 9.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through some award winners that we think for the mid-season.
Award winners?
And because I think we're going to have a lot of double-ups, let's go with we're going to do a winner and a runner-up for each one.
Oof.
All right?
Yeah.
So let's start with you.
What category are we starting in?
The most valuable player. MVP. In the NFL right now.
All right.
After this 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Who have you got?
I have the leading rusher of the NFL, DeMarco Murray.
Yes.
I feel, all right, just broke the all-time NFL record of consecutive 100-yard games.
Mm-hmm.
Which is now standing at 8.
Wow. That's an accomplishment.
It is. It's huge. And he's also on record to beat the NFL rushing yard record. Not sure about touchdowns. I think it's tied. Doesn't bother me.
I think it doesn't matter. He's still carrying the team.
He is. Romo's not playing bad, but the fact that Cowboys have a rushing game this year is helping them tremendously.
Yes.
Do you want to do your first one, or then do we?
Well, I've got DeMarco Murray as my runner-up,
and I did
tweet during the game that if Romo is out for some time and the Cowboys still managed to make the playoffs on the back of DeMarco Murray, he will be the MVP.
Right.
Because he will single-handedly carry the Cowboys.
Yep.
I think Romo and Dez helped Murray a lot, especially that offensive line as well. But still, DeMarco Murray like fights for every single yard, and he's been playing incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So I have him as my runner-up. My MVP is Peyton Manning after his last 2-3 weeks have just been outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And he's drawing similar efforts to what he did last year. And he's the incumbent and he's a quarterback, so that's why I went with that.
All right, well, he's my backup, Ben. He'd be my runner-up.
Yeah, so we've switched on that one. At least we're not the same, as per usual. All right, offensive player of the year. I decided to mix it up because normally whoever wins MVP is normally the offensive player of the year.
Yep.
So I'm not going to repeat what you just said, but I thought if DeMarco Murray misses out on the MVP, he'll be offensive player of the year.
I think it's the most stupid thing
award
in football.
Should just be non-quarterback player of the year.
If a defensive player wins MVP, there shouldn't be a defensive award. If an offensive player wins the MVP, there shouldn't be an offensive award. Or it should just be mandatory that they win. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
If you win most valuable player,
You're either the offensive player of the year or the defensive player of the year. Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. That's why I was like, I don't want to just repeat the same garbage again. That's why I thought I'll just mix it up a little bit.
All right, well.
But you would go DeMarco Murray again,
I'll
wouldn't you?
I'll go someone completely random.
Well, my runner-up's Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's even thrown a touchdown. He's been taking jet sweeps, catching balls. He's not 6 foot. He's not a physical specimen at 6'3" or with incredible vertical. He just does everything right. And Mike Tomlin compared him to J.J. Watt earlier this year in terms of how valuable he is to the Steelers. Oh, that was like
interesting.
It was, but he has a point. Would the Steelers be where they are now without Antonio Brown?
No.
No, exactly. So I'm making the case that he's my runner-up as offensive player of the year.
I think if we, the way we voted, I think he definitely, he couldn't be any higher than third.
Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, I understand.
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously, as you just said, whoever wins MVP will be offensive player of the year.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
DeMarco's
mine. All right, defensive player of the year. I think we will not be split on this one.
Nope.
Do we even need to? No? I'll just play the drop. Turn down for what?
Are you playing that?
Yeah, I've been playing that. Turn down for what? It's JJ Watt.
Yep.
Runner-up, though, I think we might be different.
Let me think. You go.
There's a lot of good contenders, but I'll go with Von Miller,
mm-hmm.
who leads the NFL in sacks. Or actually, might not anymore. Justin Houston, I think, racked up a couple the other week. But he's up there, and he's playing really, 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 really well. And if it weren't for J.J. Watt, he'd be the most talked about defensive player in the league.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm a bit torn. Like,
have you got two?
No. It's just when I think about defensive player, it's... You kind of feel like it has to be flashy like Von Miller.
Yeah.
And then you kind of want to give it to, like a defensive tackle.
Like, for example, last year's Pro Football Focus's like second best player was like Gerald McCoy. He doesn't rack up that amount of sacks, but he's just that good in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I get what you mean.
It's, I don't know, because I'm torn, between other... I don't want to...
Is he going to pop up in a later category?
They could come up in other categories.
All right, well, you can draw back to that if the player is mentioned later on.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's stick with defense then and go with Defensive Rookie of the Year. And I think this is where you might be drawing the connection.
Who? Khalil?
Yeah. Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald?
Yeah, well, I love Aaron Donald. See, I would pick him as defensive if I had to.
As your runner-up?
I would pick him as my number one.
For rookie of the
defensive
year.
Rookie.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll get it. I'm going with CJ Mosley.
CJ Mosley.
Of Baltimore Ravens.
He's having a very, very good start to the season. He's the second best inside linebacker according to Pro Football Focus.
I would. At the start of the year, I would have said it would have been Ryan Shazier or someone along the line.
He was a flashy pick, sort of like a... trendy.
He was.
Yeah, before the season started.
Very fast.
I've got Khalil Mack at number one. I know he hasn't got a sack yet, but he is solid. Honestly, I don't advise normally watching Raiders games, but if you just, even if you watch it on Game Pass and watch it on coach's camera and just watch Khalil Mack,
you might actually enjoy a Raiders game.
Like, yeah, he is everywhere.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
Honourable mention to Anthony Barr last week. Like,
I played him in our Stonecutters League as a defensive player. 21 points.
Good stuff.
Yeah, this rookie class is incredible.
It is.
Yeah.
I played DeMarcus Ware. Got me a fat duck egg.
Duck egg? Wow.
Ridiculous. After killing it the week before.
Yeah. But you had Aaron Donald as your runner-up. I had Aaron Donald as my runner-up as well. Just incredibly stout in the middle of the... of that Rams defensive line. All right, offensive rookie of the year. Again, defense is stacked, but what about all these wide receivers?
Yep. Give me slamming
Sammy Watkins. I had him as my runner-up.
Yep.
I have Zach Martin as my offensive rookie of the year.
What a non-flashy pick.
No, but how do you think DeMarco has gone so well?
No. It's going to be interesting now to see how the offensive line handles the loss of...
Doug Free.
Yeah.
Is he out for how long?
pretty sure he's out.
Okay.
I'm going to look this up while we're going.
All right.
Until we're prepared.
Yeah. Look, there's plenty of wide receivers that you could throw into the ring. Sammy Watkins, Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, John Brown, Martavis Bryant's coming along, Dante Moncrief is coming along. But Sammy Watkins is a clear-cut number one in his team, so he's doing it against the best cornerbacks of the respective
opponents. I think it's also similar to Kelvin.
Oh, Kelvin is the number one as well.
Yeah.
But Sammy Watkins has outplayed Kelvin, yes, in my opinion. He doesn't have Cam Newton throwing the ball. He had stinky EJ Manuel for 6 weeks or whatever, yeah, and Uncle Rico for the last couple of weeks. So, it will be Sammy Watkins, but Zach Martin's getting overlooked. Another guy I think's getting overlooked, Joel Bitonio for the Browns. He's after Alex Mack went down, he's sort of taken a step back, but he was playing really well to start the year. What's the word on Doug Free?
I just saw a little news thing that said this is from October 15, so, right, you know,
it's a while ago.
2 weeks, yeah, ago. But it said that Doug Free's out for up to a month. So
okay, he'll be back in about 2 weeks, then.
He's hoping to return against Arizona.
Yeah, they'll need him against that run defense. That is where DeMarco's 100-yard rushing might come to a screeching halt.
And
yes. All right, who's your comeback player of the year?
I'm going with the out-of-retirement Rolando McClain.
Rolando McClain. I thought you were going to go Uncle Rico.
No.
God, what? Normally, it is a quarterback, which is annoying again.
Yes.
Yeah. He was my runner-up. My comeback player of the year is Von Miller.
It's hard for me. He played enough last year to not warrant comeback.
He had an injury late.
He did, but then again, I also think Jeremy Macklin's up there.
Oh, that's a good... I totally forgot about Macklin. That's good. Best free agent signing for you? To me, I just pulled all the wide receivers together, and I think you would probably have come up with one of these names. Golden Tate, Steve Smith, Emmanuel Sanders, and Brandon LaFell.
Yeah. Pick a name.
Yeah, Steve Smith's playing as good as he was in his prime.
He was, but he's kind of slowed down now, yeah, where it's the opposite to LaFell. LaFell's starting to pick up. Tate has really shone in Calvin Johnson's absence, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, I'll go with Tate at the moment.
Yeah.
Tate's played pretty well.
I really like Emmanuel Sanders because he's been consistent the whole way through.
Yeah, bloody Sanders too, I don't know.
Yeah. Some of the catches Emmanuel's made have been extraordinary.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. So that's our award winners for the mid-season. But any overall winners and losers? We'll start with losers. We've just mentioned a lot of winners.
Yeah. I'll say the Jets.
Yeah.
I can't. Jets stink.
Yeah, Geno Smith is done as a starting quarterback in the NFL already. I'm a bit devastated.
How many picks has he thrown?
He threw 3.25 last week.
Oh, it's something. It's a huge number.
He started the season all right in the first week and a bit. It was annoying. I thought, Team Geno all off season. Here we go. But nothing.
It's been, you know, a very slow start. I think, here's the stat. Geno has thrown 31 intercepts in less than 2 seasons. So what?
How many?
31 in a year and a season and a half.
God.
Saying that, Peyton Manning threw 52 in his first 2 seasons.
That's what my argument is when people question Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Because Manning threw a lot of interceptions his first season. Majority of those 50 would be in his first year. I think he threw like 30-something interceptions in his first year. Blake Bortles is doing the same, but the glimpses are there, and Peyton showed the glimpses. And, man, the Colts were like the Jags when Manning took over. Yeah. They were like coming off 3 consecutive, like 2-win seasons or 3-win seasons. There was nothing there. It was barren. Whereas the Jets are like,
Yeah.
An 8-8 team. They picked up Decker. They drafted Amaro. I just think...
Harvin.
Yeah, but they got Harvin. He was forcing the ball to Harvin too much.
He was.
It's like when you play Madden and you pick up a rookie...
Can I just say, the draft right and you now... try to throw it to him all right the time. Right now, I've just traded for Harvin. And Harvin's my new favourite toy on Madden.
Yeah, he's a good toy
to play. I force-feeding the ball the entire game.
Yes. But unfortunately, you're also the general manager in Madden, so you don't have to sack your quarterback for any interceptions you throw.
It's on me.
Yeah. I think Geno is done. I feel like Rex Ryan's going to get the sack, and I feel sorry for him.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
I think Rex Ryan, he's a boldy. Rex Ryan will be the... No, he can't be. I was going to say he'll be a comeback player next year where he ends up somewhere and just becomes like an incredible defensive coordinator. Because his team fights for him. Even though they're in the crapper, Geno happens... Vicks, but the team just keeps fighting. Like, they fight every down for Rex Ryan. He has respect of the locker room.
I agree, and I think he could be an awesome defensive coordinator somewhere else. Yeah. I think his brother, on the other hand, is the worst there is out there. Overrated.
Yeah, there was an article this week on NFL.com, 5 coordinators that will have head coaching jobs, and the number one on the list was Rob Wright. I was outraged.
How does that work?
Honestly, look at Rob Ryan's, where his teams have finished in terms of overall defense every year. I think he's had 3 top 10 finishes as a defensive coordinator out of like 16 seasons. And he's finished down the bottom 5 more than he has in the top 10 in terms of yards and efficiency.
Wow.
If his surname wasn't Ryan, he wouldn't have a job. It's ridiculous.
Same with Eli.
But I just feel like... I feel like... Always a way to
bring up Eli. That's a good call.
Rex, yeah, I just feel Rex Ryan's going to get sacked, and I don't think it's entirely on him. I think is entirely in trouble for that just poor roster construction and drafting, to be honest. I mentioned it before, Jake Locker. I think that whole 2011 quarterback class are losers just for life now. Christian Ponder, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert. Nothing good came out of that draft in terms of quarterbacks.
And then you look at last...
Yeah.
The 2013 now?
Mm.
Yeah. And then that...
Wilson, Luck, Foles, RG3. Yes. I also got NFC South as a loser. Look, Saints are rolling, but the rest of that division, there was... All 4 of those teams were talked up. Even the Tampa were a sleepy playoff pick for some people.
Yeah.
Before the season started.
Oh, I'm so glad to see the Saints are starting to go well now.
It's good.
It is, because it made you feel weird. You just thought, you know, you could see it and you were like, they've got the pieces. They got Drew Brees, they got Sean Payton.
Yeah, absolutely. Why are they going? Jimmy Graham, yeah.
However, I still don't know if the defense can keep up.
No.
Jarius Byrd loss was huge. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
He wasn't playing that good, though.
I know he wasn't, but just even the...
But you knew it couldn't get any worse. He was going to improve.
Yeah.
Look, this would be funny if New Orleans sort of scrape into the playoffs with a bad record, and then Seattle, they have to host Seattle. Remember when Seattle finished in the playoffs with 7-9 or whatever?
Yeah.
And then they beat New Orleans at home.
And that became like the...
it became like a rivalry. I just think that'd be so ironic that the tables are turned and the New Orleans Saints with a losing record host Seattle.
I would love it.
Yeah. I don't think they'll finish with a losing record now. I think they've done quite well to march back at 4-4 now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to get the pieces rolling. Any other losers for you?
I'm just going to say Tampa as a whole as well. I'm just going to leave that away as well. You know.
It's just a giant, giant dumpster.
I thought getting rid of Greg Schiano was going to, you know, work wonders. It wasn't him. So I'm sorry, Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
There you go.
I still don't know.
I don't know. There was rumors of him being like a dictator and stuff. So we'll just leave that.
A dictator.
Yeah. Nah. He's rubbish.
EJ Manuel is another loser for me. Not Tampa related, but you know, if he ends up in Tampa, that would just be the perfect storm.
That would. Should bring Geno over.
Play the Wildcat with 2 quarterbacks. That's EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, bring Vic over and Gabbert, and that would be amazing.
Yeah, well, Josh McCown's another loser.
And see, I didn't see that coming either.
No, I was high on Josh McCown. Yeah. I picked him as a backup quarterback in a lot of leagues.
Yep.
He was dropped by week 2.
Yep. Obviously, Dennis Allen was a loser.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
Winners? Oh, can I start?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not an NFL player yet.
Jarrod Hayne.
Jarrod Hayne. Yeah, no, we'll leave that for a different time.
Yeah.
Still a winner for me there.
Yeah, winners for me, and I just completely forgot that in our awards was Coach of the Year. Bruce Arians is a winner for me.
Yep,
for
me too.
He's virtually got that as locked down.
And second?
Yeah. Coach of the Year?
Yeah.
That's tough. I want to say Jason Garrett because the Cowboys are going good, but he doesn't really do much play calling anymore. They've taken the responsibility away from him. Yeah. So maybe it should be just the Dallas coaching staff taking that responsibility away from him.
Give it to Dallas Cowboys special teams
coach. Yeah, or a defensive
coordinator.
Yeah. Or how about the Rams special teams coordinator? Right. There's your backup.
No, he should be number one.
But in terms, I think Detroit, probably Jim Caldwell, their defense is playing really, really well.
And that's a huge surprise for me.
Yep.
So, I mean, they've got a devastating front line.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
I think they're definitely winners.
And Sue is playing
incredible. Speaking of Detroit, probably a loser for me is Reggie Bush. The Detroit Lions are operating fine with Joyke Bell and Theo Riddick. I don't think Bush will be there next year.
Nope.
I think he's more name now than anything.
And I still think he can get somewhere with his name.
Yeah, I still think he'll end up. It was only 2 years ago that he was killing it for Miami.
Yep. And, he was killing it for Detroit last year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So. But he's just sort of faded away. The body's getting all beat up. And
Yeah.
Yeah, and then again, another line.
I think he's got the similar chance to do what Chris Johnson did this year, even though Chris Johnson didn't take his opportunity, obviously, because he's been a loser for the last 10 years.
Yeah. big call.
He could well and truly just go somewhere like the Jets. It won't be the Jets. The Jets couldn't dare stand another player like that. But
you imagine having Harvin and Reggie Bush on your team?
Wow.
That's a lot of speed. Another line I forgot to bring up was Stephen Tulloch, and I'll throw Lamar Houston into this, tearing their ACL during celebrations. It's pretty loserish.
Loserish?
Yeah. Is that a word?
That is now.
Yeah, that is. We were on winners until we mentioned the Lions. Another winner for me would be, I don't want to be hopefully overly biased, but Andrew Luck's development as a quarterback is great for me. I think he's a winner. He's improving and he's carrying a team and he's doing it the right way.
Yep.
I think he's a very, very, very good player.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from you?
Even though they've had a rough-ish start.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle, right?
Yeah, a lot of people are jumping off that bandwagon already. I don't know why. They're panicking.
Now, I want to give a shout-out to Seattle's front office, again, for the Percy Harvin incident.
Yeah.
I think they handled it correctly.
Absolutely.
Doing nothing for you, creating problems with the locker room. Mm. A similar thing, you don't know what exactly happened behind closed doors with the whole Deshaun Jackson thing. But, if it's creating, unrest amongst your organization, why not cut ties? Just man up.
They did.
And they just went, we don't need you.
Yeah, and they'll still just sleep and just end up in the playoffs.
Of course.
And they'll be a threat.
Yep, and they have that extra draft pick.
Cheering.
Weren't using Harvin anyway.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yep.
John Elway is another winner for me. His free agency was, off-season was good. Tlaib, DeMarcus Ware, Emmanuel Sanders, TJ Ward, all been incredibly good pickups, all playing well. And Bradley Roby in the first pick was, in the first round, was a solid draft pick. I think
Do you think Roby is because he has all those pieces around him? Do you think it'd be amazing if he was outside? If he was, yeah.
No, I think he'd be exposed a lot, but I don't think he'd be, horrible.
Yeah,
but I think he is playing well in the role that he's doing, and I think his development as a corner in that role now behind Harris and Tlaib will make him better in the future. By the way,
Harris, he should...
There's another winner.
That's another winner.
Just under-the-radar gun.
Yep.
This is the best Denver team in a long time, overall team.
And if they don't win...
They need to stay healthy. They had a pretty good team last year.
Yep.
And they need to stay healthy. one last winner for me. Two teams that traditionally bad, and one of them still bad, the Oakland Raiders. But like Khalil Mack has been excellent. Gabe Jackson, who they took in the third round, is developing into a solid guard. They also drafted Derek Carr. And he is playing better than his brother ever did. I think the pieces are there. They're going to have a high draft. If they have another draft like what they have had this year, I think they'll go a long way.
I couldn't agree more.
If they can build a nice roster that'll develop in four years when Manning retires, they're a sneaky chance to finally claim that division.
Wow.
4 year bold prediction.
We're so bold here.
And the other team is the Cleveland Browns. Brian Hoyer is a winner in my books. And the hashtag all Hoyer everything.
How long do you give the Browns?
What do you mean?
Until they get rid of Hoyer.
Till they get rid of him.
Not get rid of him. He lasts the season?
He'll start next year.
Wow.
And Manziel will be traded on draft day.
That won't happen. To the Jets.
You heard it here first, folks.
Alright.
Yep. Any last thoughts on our mid-season review before we head to our mailbag?
No, I'm just looking forward to the second half of the year.
Yeah. Are you still on board with your Super Bowl picks from preseason?
Yeah.
Patriots, Packers. Is that what it was?
No.
Who was it?
The Saints.
Saints and the Patriots.
The Saints and the Patriots.
I'm still on board with Denver Packers.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was worried there for a little while with the Pack, but they bounced back.
I was worried with both of my teams, Patriots, and now they're
going
to go.
They're going really well. All right, let's head to our mailbag.
You got mail. Goodbye.
All right, we'll keep our mailbag brief this week because our mid-season review took up a lot of time.
Yeah.
Shrembri's back. This guy loves top fives, like just lists. He loves lists. He's a lister. And a listener. And he originally asked us to name our top 250 players in order, which might be something we could do in the off season, but I'm not doing it now.
Yeah, I'm not up for that.
He wants us to name our top five MVP candidates. We've already talked about MVP candidates, and off air we've just come up with a generic five between the two of us.
Yep.
In no order, we'll just list them. Quarterbacks, we have Manning, Brady, Rogers, then we have JJ Watt and DeMarco Murray.
Yep.
One of those five don't win, there's something wrong.
It's because there's been a huge breakout in the second half of the year.
Or there's been some sort of coup at the NFL. Political coup. Murder. He wants to know our top five surprises of the season so far. So I'm guessing he could say players, teams, coaches.
Anything.
Anything. Could be anything.
Let's go with some random stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if I can come up with five, like in order.
No, we can go... We'll do it jointly.
Yeah, all right, well, I'll start at number five. John Brown has been a pleasant surprise
for me. Yeah.
I love watching him play as like a mini T.Y. Hilton.
All right. Random, I still can't believe that the Washington team hasn't changed their name yet.
There you go. That damn Washington football team.
Yeah.
Yep. My number three is the Dallas Cowboys. My bold prediction was that they'd have the first pick in the draft next year. Which still could come true if they trade DeMarco Murray or something like that. But it's I know you're an NFC East man, but it's a pleasant surprise to me because it's about time Romo got some respect.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone has always spoken about he's got the stats that look like he's a great quarterback, but when it comes to the moments, he slips up. But this year, you can't say
except anything. For the first week. But that he admitted that's his worst game of his career.
Yeah,
and since that first half, they've been pretty good.
Yep. Can we go with the Rams surprise play?
Yes, absolutely. The special teams.
That
and Austin Davis.
And Austin Davis.
Yeah.
Austin Davis is quite a humble guy.
Yeah, I like it.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. And my number one surprise was that during a Monday night football game, we had at one stage Colt McCoy playing Brandon Weeden. That surprised me. I did not think that would happen.
And the Washington team winning, which yes. is just another...
Another one.
Yeah.
But honestly, you had two former failed Browns quarterbacks playing each other on primetime television.
Meanwhile...
And it was thoroughly entertaining.
And it was great. And while all this is happening, Manziel still hasn't played a game.
No.
The guy they drafted in the first round. So, I mean, what on Browns?
The NFL. What never Browns. Fails.
Far out.
Yeah. All right, we've got a question from at TimC0212. He wants to know if Chris Ivory is for real and for the rest of the season, despite the Jets' struggle. So I'm thinking the second part of that question is, fantasy-wise, is he decent play for the rest of the year?
All right, well, I think Chris Ivory is for real.
I agree.
He's a complete animal.
He's a violent runner.
That is the biggest problem.
The injuries.
He has a history.
Yep.
And the guy doesn't stop.
Yeah,
that's why I also think could be DeMarco Murray's undoing.
Just pay Chris Ivory, though.
Yeah,
the guy's can we say can we our Ivory story?
Do you want to go for it?
Do you want to say it now or?
How long we got?
I'll stuff it. We got time.
Go for it.
All right, we have a friend. I'm not going to bring up any names or anything like that. From America, he was out at Sydney University. Was in the same classes with my girlfriend.
Yes.
Anyway, so they went out for drinks and I tagged along and I got talking NFL as I do. It's yep. Anyone that knows me, that's pretty much all I talk about. And we're talking fantasy football and I think Chris Ivory came up in conversation and this guy went to university with Chris Ivory. Basically, at a party, this guy's friend unknowingly started hooking up with Chris Ivory's girlfriend. Chris Ivory walked in, saw it all happening, just snapped, went absolutely nuts. Allegedly, got to put that word in, allegedly smashed him over the head with a glass. Just destroyed him. And then just took off and he drove. And then like 6 months later ended up at a different university. And so now every time he runs or does something good, these guys cheer him on because the more he gets paid, the more he has to pay in compensation to our friends. Friend.
So there you go.
So Chris.
So
keep in mind that is all allegedly.
Yes, it's all allegedly, and this could not actually have happened.
No. It was a story in a bar, but the way Chris Ivory runs and how violent he plays, I actually believe it, and I believe our friend.
Yes.
Shout out to my bearded friend in Washington D.C. now, not Washington State.
And they're not ones to lie. So.
No, he's not a liar.
No, he's not. But Chris Ivory, he's running with ambition, vigor. He's kind of one of the only lone shining stars. Of
yeah, absolutely. And that, despite their struggles, he's getting touchdowns.
Yeah. That being said, I still think Decker was a decent signing. I still don't.
He'll be on a lot of people's losers list, and he should be because you've gone from the Broncos to the Jets. But in terms of proving yourself as a number one receiver, I think he has.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, I think he's great.
Yeah, no, I would.
Just don't ask Jets fans to tweet you like he did during the week, and that backfired.
Yeah.
And his wife got involved, and that got ugly.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, Ivory, I think probably an RB2 the rest of the year.
Ivory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Look, he's managed to score consistent points with Geno Smith throwing buttload of interceptions.
I still
think they can't be any worse with Beck.
It could be still a bit. He's not matchup proof.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Especially on the Jets.
Yeah. All right, our last question is from Adam Megabyte. If that's your surname, that's incredible.
Yeah, a Twitter handle, I don't think it's
no.
his
last name. All right. He says he wants to know why the Saints are awesome at home and terrible on the road. Well, there's a thing called a dome.
Number one is the dome. Yes. It's completely different.
Yep. Same case for Matt Ryan.
Yeah, except Matt Ryan doesn't.
Yeah, don't worry.
Falcons are the Falcons.
Yeah.
Also, when you're... It's completely... How do you think you'd feel playing in front of all your fans that are cheering you on? In a city like New Orleans, which is just, you know...
I think the Saints' home is especially special, but is really special to them because of what happened.
Yeah, with Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, I think it's sort of awe-inspiring. Like, you just feel like you need to produce a win here for these people. Yeah. Even though it happened so long ago, there's still effects and people struggling.
Of course.
But then I think, yeah, the weather in the dome in Louisiana is in the south, so it's always a nice temperature as well, even though you are in a dome, but you're still comfortable in that environment. And you've got to go up into, you know, Minnesota and Green Bay and New England in struggling weather, even Denver as well. It's totally different. You've got to adjust to the wind and things like that.
Yep, so yep. Hopefully that answered your question.
That definitely answered his question.
It did.
Don't
get that confident.
All right, now let's smash through our Week 9 picks. And we already got one up with the Saints beating Panthers.
Yep,
both. And we both got 8 right last week, so...
No change in the leaderboard.
No, none at all. So let's just get into those games. All right, kick us off, man.
All right, the Bucks Browns. I have the Cleveland Browns.
I also have the Browns in that game. I just think at home, and Brian Hoyer is better than anything the Bucks have.
I just think the Bucks are crap.
The Arizona Cardinals travel to the Dallas Cowboys, which is a tough game. Tony Romo is listed as questionable. If Tony Romo plays, I think they can get the win, but I'm going to take my boy Bruce Arians and I'm going to take the Cardinals on the road.
I'm also taking the Cardinals.
Wow, I thought we were going to be split for sure. Oh, you never take an AFC East, then.
Have I? That's interesting.
Yeah. You had to last week. I do, play each other.
Got it wrong. Eagles at the Texans. I honestly think this is a toss of the coin.
Really?
I will go with the Eagles, but I think it's going to be very close.
Look, I'm two behind you. You lead 74-72. I was hoping you were going to, you know, take the Texans and just pray that you were wrong so the Eagles win. But now I'm going to take the Texans, which kills me. I don't want to take the Texans. I don't like the Texans. I don't like Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's
plenty of games that you could change.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, I've got to do something. I'm desperate. All right,
Jets at the Chiefs. At the Chiefs?
Yep. At Arrowhead.
At Arrowhead. I can't see the Jets winning.
No, me neither. But you think you're taking the Jets with the line in your betting.
Jets with a 9.5 start. When they're playing a decent team, I mean, look what they did with the Patriots the other week.
Yeah.
Plenty. They've just like we've mentioned before, they've got some ticker when they're put up against the wall.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus...
They do it for Rex.
Plus, Vic's also in at starter, so they can't get any worse.
Well, Vic said he tried to play like 24-year-old Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Which I hopefully he means 24-year-old Michael Vick on the field.
All right, let's go.
Because I pray for the Labradors of the Philadelphia suburbs. Too far?
Yep.
I don't like Vick in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like what he did. The Jags at the Bengals. How did I turn Pickhams into something like just an all-out attack on Michael Vick?
And you do it.
A lot. But you bring up Eli a lot. You bring up Eli more than I bring up the Patriots.
But not more than you bring up Peyton.
I love Peyton.
Peyton's a fag.
I was watching...
Jags at the Bengals. Bengals sweep it.
Oh, I thought you honestly picked the Jags. And...
Nope.
No, Bengals, yep. The Chargers at the team of the podcast. Team of the podcast.
An appalling drum roll on that glass.
That was terrible. Well, who are you taking?
I have to take the podcast team.
Taking the Finns.
Have to. You have to.
I'm going to take the Chargers.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
By the way, this is a key game for them. They started the season hot. So if they lose here... I hope
Dolphins make you eat your words.
I want the Dolphins to win and push for AFC East contention.
That would be great.
But the Chargers, this is honestly a key game for them. They started off hot, but... They've sort of slipped down, and the loss out of this, they're in real threat from the Chiefs, taking it.
Yeah. Actually, another kind of loser, Keenan Allen hasn't done much this year. Just on a side note. Gets the targets, doesn't do anything with it. No. Anyway.
Oh, he had an alright game last week, but he always plays okay against the Broncos and then just goes
wild again. Don't know why that is.
Oh, it's weird.
Washington at the Vikings. This I also think is a...
This is a flip of the coin. I'm going to take the Washington football team, and I really hope... I really want to see RG3 play good and come back and get through a game. And
I'm a fan of RG3, so...
Yeah. As much as, you know, the luck RG3 debate sort of was very hot in the first year, and I'm always going to take Andrew Luck, doesn't mean I dislike RG3. I don't think many people do.
No.
No.
Rams at the 49ers, I think. Do we both have the 49ers on this one?
We do. But I think the Rams have always, in the last couple of years, they've always played the 49ers tough. And I think it will be a defensive slog to begin with.
Just after seeing the Rams last week, I wasn't too...
They started off so good. Austin Davis had a really good touchdown drive to start the game, and then it just, like, hit a wall.
I think didn't get a second win. The Rams understand where they're at. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to, you know...
I think they're content with being a six-win team.
And I think the way Jeff Fisher, you know, operates, I think he's going to be like, we're just going to go at you. Like when they go at you with everything
I think they're testing a lot of different schemes. I think they're doing a lot of research this year for next year, yep. I think, from now on. And that's why I think they took Mark Barron, because there's still an option on his contract. So they get him at least for next year at a pretty reduced price. And they've got a lot of draft picks. They've had a lot of draft picks. So a lot of players are young and making the leap. All right, the Oakland Raiders at the Seattle Seahawks. Are we going to sweep that one?
This could be huge. It could be a huge
Richard upset. Sherman's already started a smack talk to Derek Carr.
Oh, well done. Talking smack talk.
Idiot. He's saying that Derek Carr's not going to be afraid to throw the ball at them because he doesn't know any better.
Oh, God.
I think this is true, but he did torch them up a little bit in
the preseason. You know what, but Sherman hasn't done much smack talk, and then the time he comes out and smack talks for a while is against Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders.
I don't think it phases Derek Carr.
He doesn't look phased by anything.
The Raiders are the best zero-win team I've seen. Like, Khalil Mack's killing it, Derek Carr's showing improvements. I think they test them for three quarters. Andre Holmes. Yeah. Good. James Jones, not too bad. Yeah. And they're missing Rod Streeter as well, who's a quietly good player. The Ravens at the Steelers. Some call this the best rivalry in NFL at the moment. I disagree. I think it's the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Clearly a joke.
That was so weird. I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens on this one.
Wow. This is where I'll get one up on you. The Steelers will win this game.
Okay.
Big Ben, Antonio Brown, light it up.
All right, so can I just say, right? We'll do this game first. Broncos at the Patriots. You go.
Give me Peyton Manning. I'll take Peyton Manning over Tom Brady 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
I'm also going the Broncos.
Wow.
However,
yes.
Tom Brady is 2-1 against Peyton Manning.
What do you mean 2-1?
Since wins to losses.
You mean 2-1 as a ratio?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, but they don't actually play each other. This is the most redundant stat I've seen all week, and it annoys me.
But it's just in Tom Brady's.
I know, but in Tom Brady's first game against Peyton Manning, right? He threw 13 of 23 for 0 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, and they won 44-0. They scored 44 points without Brady even throwing a touchdown pass. It's a team. Like, it's the most redundant.
How good is Brady to do that and then still win?
I'm sick of hearing it all week. It's just like, oh, my God. Yes.
You know I'm not arguing.
I know. But I'm just like, I've just seen it so much this week and it's doing my head in. And it's not even like, it's basically Peyton Manning versus the Bill Belichick's defense. And Bill Belichick's defense has beaten Peyton Manning most of the time. But last year, he got the better of him.
Yep.
And I've got to stick with that. But, look, it wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots win. It doesn't surprise me when the Patriots win any game.
Nope.
But I'm sick of hearing that stat. That's just my little rant. And I'm sick of Dave Demichel.
Then, Adam Rank.
Do you watch his NFL
videos? We're not talking about Demichel.
Every NFL video ends with a Peyton Manning interception. It's ridiculous.
Is it really?
Yes, it's stupid. Dave Demichel, if you honestly think Dave Demichel is good, don't listen to this anymore.
Anyway, going back, I think the Eagles-Texans is a coin flip.
Yes.
We've got that. We've got the Chargers-Fins is close. We've got the Washington-Vikings we thought was close. Then we've got the Ravens-Steelers and the Broncos and Patriots that are all, you know, nearly 50-50.
So you could end up with, like, all of the games right, or you could get, like, three right.
It's really a toss of the coin.
And it honestly wouldn't surprise me if the Rams beat the 49ers.
Nope. The
And, like, I just...
And like, we both picked the Cardinals. Cowboys could easily kick
their butt. Absolutely. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast, Jared Watkin, who's a massive Seattle fan, even since the Tavares Jackson days, he is actually genuinely worried about the Raiders at Seattle.
Yeah, but...
I'm not, but he is.
He's mental.
Yeah.
Colts at the Giants.
I'll take... I don't know, man.
Come on, man. It's Manning.
Yeah, it is. It's a
Manning.
Best family in football. If Vontae Davis plays, the Colts will win.
You're wasting my time.
I'll take the Colts.
And I've already written you on. All right. And I also... Because...
Done.
John's got nothing.
All right.
Yeah, sneaky pick, Jets plus 9.5.
Okay, so that's Woot's tip of the week.
If I had to put a multi, I actually posted this on the NFL supporters
thing. Yep.
Jets plus 9.5, Seattle against the Raiders, and Cincy against the Jags comes out to a pretty nice number, I think.
All right, but please gamble responsibly.
Yes.
Yep. All right, that wraps up our show for the week, our mid-season review. We have hit the hour mark, so maybe we didn't have time for that Chris Ivory story. Way to go, Woot.
Damn it.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at Joshua.
Follow me at Josh Woot.
And you can follow us on at Woot and Y on Twitter. Look up the Woot and Y show on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher. Please rate us, share it around, subscribe. You can download it, don't have to listen. Downloads still help us.
They do.
Yes, it's good. Anything else?
No, just good luck to all fantasy teams for the second half of the year.
By the way, I beat you a couple of weeks ago in our main league. Ciao.
Bye.